Blog Talk Radio.
That's what we get for talking about. I mean, bing, bang, boom, we turn around. Oh, it's time to do a show.
You know, I thought we were just talking on the phone.
I know, right? Good evening. Welcome to Eerie House Oldie Timey Radio. I'm Dale Kay. Kind of old and confused. From Spook Show, I guess. Here along with...
Dave Binkley from Witness, really bad movie, and Spaceship One, and confused, but not quite as old as Dale by nearly half a year.
Yeah, you're a tad younger. Just rub it in. It's okay.
Being the old man of the group you are, old man.
If I were sensitive, I'd be throwing a tantrum, but I'm too old. Anyway.
Throw a tantrum, you'll throw out your hip.
There you go. Oh, my God. Even when I was in my 40s, I was working with this other guy. And when we were moving DJ equipment, he'd always say, "You got to break your hip. You got to break your hip." That was a running gag. But, well, these speakers were huge. They were these PV SP4s or, I don't know, some kind of big-ass, excuse me, speakers. And they were hard to lug around. Plus, I was one of the last people using vinyl, so lugging boxes and boxes of vinyl.
Yeah, yeah.
So
didn't you have a two-wheeler cart to help you push it?
I never thought of that. Yes, I did.
Oh, jeez.
Yes, I did. I utilized it more for weddings because, like, most of the bar work, they had their own system. I just had to bring in tons of tunes. And typically I'd work at the same place, and if I could lock up my records, then I didn't even have to move those. I just had to show up like it was a job, you know?
Yeah, like it was a job. Yeah, yeah.
Like, well, because it's really like self-employment, but whatever. Why more people with my life? We got some radio and stuff.
Oh, boy, do we have a treat. Dale, ever since we started doing the old radio, I wanted to figure out a way to hook in this particular program. It was a one-shot deal on Armed Forces Radio Command Performance, and I first heard it, and the only time I've ever heard it on the radio was out of Canton, Dick Waco. He did a program, a four-hour big band show, and he threw a half-hour radio show, and he threw in a comedy clip. But he took the whole hour to play this particular thing. It's a Dick Tracy operetta that they came up with. And since the 90th anniversary happened a mere 4 days ago of the first publication of Dick Tracy, that gave me enough of a wedge to throw in this. I recently found a really good recording of Dick Tracy and B-flat. An unbelievable cast. You know what? For 1945, this would be the It's a Mad, 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 Mad World cast, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, we're talking big-time stars, not Dave. We got Bing and Bob, Dinah Shore.
Mm-hmm.
Judy Garland.
Yep.
Jerry Colonna, Jimmy Durante, Frank Sinatra, Andrew Sisters, Frank Morgan, Harry Von Zell, and more.
Yep, and more. We'll just leave it at that because there's a couple more people in there, characters in there. They basically took kind of what was happening in the serialized day-to-day comic strips of Dick Tracy and the escapades that they do. And like Bing Crosby was Dick Tracy. Dinah Shore was Tess Trueheart. Judy Garland was Snowflake. Bob Hope was Flat Top. Jerry Colonna was the police chief. Harry Von Zell was Judge Hooper. Jimmy Durante was the mole. And Frank Morgan was Vitamin Flintpack. Flintpack? Flintheart, I'm sorry.
Yep.
So Flintheart, yes. What an amazing, and you could hear even the performers in several of these. They just break these, I think Bob Hope was putting on a personal show for Judy Garland at one point. They were just breaking each other up with certain things. And it was just, everybody that was here had such a good time.
And I think you listeners are in for a good time, too. Want to say real hi fast to, hi real fast, bleh, to Fogsbane, GGSI Paper, who are live here in the chat, plus the billions and billions of others we can't see.
Including Carl Sagan, yeah.
Yes.
He's got a really good radio, I understand. He has to from where he's at. Yes.
The great beyond.
But, yeah, this is an amazing production. I've been waiting over 5 years to find a way to squeeze this one in, and I'm so glad that I did. And I'm hoping that you guys are going to get a kick out of it, too. Operetta, meaning that's nearly all done in music. Trying to think of, you know, Lauren Hardy did a few of those operettas, Swiss Miss, and I forget what at least one other one was. This is better than those. The one in Toyland, Babes in Toyland, they did the Herbert musical operetta.
But this is, if
you don't enjoy this, you must not be feeling well, because the thing I feel really bad about here, Dale, is because I talked to Gar several times this week, and he woke up just a few hours ago. He wasn't feeling real good, so he's not with us. But when we were talking, he was saying he was getting such a kick out of this program that it's a shame that he's not here to enjoy this with us. I know he's got it and listened to it, but it's always more fun when the three of us get to listen to it together.
That's right. We're missing you, Gar, old buddy. We hope you're feeling better soon. And we hope you're listening in the archives, because this is a real treat. I've been looking forward to this one all week with this star-studded cast. Sappy music, Hostale.
Angel joined us, too, in the room here, Dale. So, Foxman started crying. But, yeah, I am looking forward to this, and... It should be about ready to rock and roll with this whenever you're ready.
Angel, you are just in time. If you didn't hear our list of stars, let's see how many you can recognize. In part one of Dick Tracy in B flat, from Command Performance, and it's from
February 15th, 1945.
Performance USA. The greatest entertainers in America is requested by you, the men and women in the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command Performance. Presented this week and every week till it's over there. Okay there, gang. This is Harry Von Zell reminding you that it's time to join us once again for another session dedicated to answering your request to Command Performance, Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. Now, it's come to our attention that a lot of you guys have been reading comic books while our shows are on. Now, we realize that you men and women in the Army, Navy, Coast Guard, and Marines can do exactly as you please at any time. But Command Performance hates to lose any listeners. We're really very jealous that way. So for you guys who like comic strips, tonight we're going to devote our entire time to a real super-duper two-fisted He-Man thriller. One of your real big favorites, Dick Tracy. I think Command Performance has assembled the greatest cast of honest Joes, thieves, murderers, and cutthroats in radio history. Here they are in the order of their appearance. No applause, please. Dick Tracy, Mr. Bing Crosby, Tess Trueheart, Miss Dinah Shore, Old Judge Hooper, that's me. The police chief, Mr. Jerry Colonna, Flat Top, Mr. Robert Hope. Vitamin Flintheart, Mr. Frank Morgan. The Summer Sisters, Miss Andrew Sisters. The Mole, Mr. James Durante, Esquire. Little Snowflake, Miss Judy Garland. Shaky, Master Frankie Sinatra. Gravel Gertie, Miss Cass Daly. And so it's on with the first comic strip operetta of all time, Dick Tracy in B-flat, or, for goodness sakes, isn't he ever going to marry Tess Trueheart? Ready, Maestro. Overture. This is the house that is Tess Trueheart's window. Would that I were a bird so that I could perch upon her still. Oh, Tess! Tess Trueheart! No answer. I'll sing our love song. Mayhap she will hear me and come to her window. Whose dream are you? Where is your cloud? Where are your wings? Why is my heart hearing things like the sigh of Sinatra? Whose dream are you? Can you be loved? Can you be kissed? Or will you fade like the mist in the sky? Tell me, have you come true? Are you here in my arms? Could a dream love ever seem half so divine? Darling, whose dream are you? Maybe someday you will reveal that you are no dream. You're real.
Singing song to my boudoir.
It is I, Dick Tracy.
How I love your square-cut chin. I'll come down and let you in. Hiya, Dick, give me some skin.
Thank you scad test true heart. Well, the big day, huh, Tess? We're finally going to get married.
Yes, Dick, and this time you better go through with it. I've waited 13 years to get married, and you keep putting it off.
Well, honey, some big crime keeps coming up, and I have to dash out and solve it. In 1941, it was 88 keys. In 1942, it was Mrs. Pruneface. And in 1944...
Wait a minute. What happened to 1943?
Very interesting year. My laundry came back. But I know I don't have to worry about you, Tess Trueheart, because your heart is true.
My heart will always be true, but if we don't get married pretty soon, the rest of me may stray a little.
Now, steady there, gal. Steady, steady. Tonight's the night. Tell me, where are the wedding guests?
The wedding guests are assembled in the parlor, even now. The summer sisters are gathered around the spinet, and Vitamin Flintheart is gathered around the punch bowl. Methinks Vitamin has drunk too freely of the four roses.
How can you tell?
His nose is broken out into small bouquets.
I disapprove of that. Why aren't men more like me? I don't drink, I don't smoke, and I don't gamble.
Oh, please. Please don't tell me any more of your faults. We're getting married tonight.
Come, Tess, let us join the merry throng and get on with the nuptials. I will fling open the door.
Oh, happy, 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 happy wedding day.
Oh, shut up. At last, my moment has come. Tess Trueheart, do you take this man to be your lawful wedded husband?
I do.
Richard Tracy. Do you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife?
I do.
Ah, at last. I now pronounce you man and... Oh, bean juice. Blasted interruptions. Always interrupted. I get that dang thing torn out.
Excuse me, darling.
Oh, Richard.
Hello, Tracy at this end.
Hello, police chief on this end. Well, that takes care of both ends.
What is it, Chief?
At 3:30 this afternoon, the First National Bank was robbed. And the crooks got away with $3,468.77.
$3,468.77. Are you positive?
Just a minute. I'll count it again.
Now, Chief, this sounds very suspicious. You weren't in on the deal, were you?
That's ridiculous. I wouldn't do anything crooked.
Well, okay. Dick Tracy is on the job. And all I can say is that whoever held up the First National Bank better get out of town.
Well, I'll go home and pack.
Yes, I must be off.
Oh, Richard, this is terrible. Left at the altar again. Why do you not renounce your ceaseless pursuit of evildoers? 'Twere better by far if you opened up a live bait store in Death Valley. Don't go.
Ah, but I must. I owe it to society. I must be off to do a job. I can only stay a minute. I'm off to pinch a crooked mob and everyone else that's in it.
How I dread the chance you take, how I hope for your escape, and each night I'll stay away till your safe returning.
Thank you, dear, but never fear, they'll never get old Dick Tracy. When I get back, we'll hire a hack and go and hear Count Basie.
My hero has no fear as that fatal moment nears. Let me hold you by the ears. They're so strong and flappy.
There'll be no mush. I've got a rush. I'm heading for the station. So save your smacks and pat on the back till I get my vacation.
He's off to fight with all his might. This wonderful guy, Dick Tracy. A lonely test remains in a mess with Irene and old Lacey.
Invention.
It was a good phone.
With a long extension.
Did you see what I mean? Is I know it was a good phone. I had a friend. He was a good friend. got no man. Ain't got no friends. I'll bet you can guess just exactly what happened. My friend works for the telephone company. That was the end of my friend, the end of my phone, and darn near the end of me.
That was part one of Dick Tracy and B flat. This is incredible, Dave.
It is amazing. It gets more amazing as more stars get involved in it as it goes along. Dick Tracy itself, it's actually amazing. It's life. I've been looking through some stuff here, Dale, and the only thing I can't see that was a stage play with Dick Tracy. It was on, it was, of course, a movie or the comic strips. It was in comic books. It was in movie serials. It was in full-length movies. It was in TV series more than once. Cartoon, it's just absolutely amazing. Almost every aspect of entertainment, except a stage play. As far as I know, there may be one out there, but I'm not aware of it. It's just astounding. The life of this thing. And I used to watch my grandfather got the Dick Tracy in the Lima News. Comic strip, and that's why I would always catch it there, because not, of course, being syndicated, not every newspaper would carry it, and
yeah.
So he would save me that, and he would save me Dondi, and I would follow those two comic strips, even though I lived in Buffalo at the time, so he would just save those out for me. So
I remember Dondi. He had those, like, pie-eyed.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just looking here, honors and awards for Dick
Tracy.
We're
doing comics, by the way, all weekend long. Today it's Dick Tracy. Tomorrow, well, later on we'll tell you what we're doing tomorrow, but more comic strips.
Here's the awards. That, and what's funny is it leads down to the most, one of the most recent awards comes to us locally here to Dick Tracy, but Chester Gould won the Reuben Award for the strip in 1959 and 1977. The Mystery Writers of America honored Gould with his work at a special Edgar Award in 1980. This is the first time the Mystery Writers of America ever honored a comic strip. In 1995, the strip was one of 20 included in Comic Strip Classic series of commemorative postage stamps and postcards. On May 2nd of 2011, the Tennessee Senate passed Resolution 30, congratulating Mike Curtis and Joe Stanton on their professional accomplishments, including Dick Tracy. On September 7th, 2013, the Baltimore Comics Convention, Dick Tracy was awarded the Harvey in Best Syndicated Strip or Panel category. Tracy was simultaneously the oldest continually running strip and the first adventure strip to ever win the Harvey Award in this category. September 6th of 2014, Tracy was awarded the second Harvey Award in newspaper strip category, becoming one of only three strips to win in this category in consecutive years. September 26, 2015, Tracy won the third Harvey in the same category, becoming one of only three strips to win in three consecutive years. And on November 6, 2016, at their panel at Akron Comic-Con, Mike Curtis and Joe Stanton were each presented with an Akron Comic-Con Excellence Award. The inscription on the plaque reads, 2016 Akron Comic-Con Excellence Award presented to Mike Curtis and Joe Stanton for their contributions to one of the longest-running newspaper strips in the history of newspaper comics.
And you
How's
thought
that?
It was just a Warren Beatty movie.
Which, actually, I got a big kick out of. We'll talk about that in another segment.
Yeah, we'll chat about this a bit more later on, because we got a lot of radio, not just Dick Tracy and B-flat, but since that's the good stuff, let's get back to it with part two from Command Performance, Dick Tracy and B-flat.
Thank you. jig is up. Reach for the ceiling. It's Dick Tracy, you swine. That's funny. Nobody here. The First National Bank is empty.
Drop that gun and turn around, Tracy.
If that voice belongs to who I think it does, I may never turn around.
What a pleasure. I've always wanted to have a gun in this guy's back.
Yeah, and you can pull it up a little, too.
Sorry, I was going to blow your brains out. Now drop that gun and turn around.
All right. Ay.
You guessed it, Tracy. I'm
on that egg-shaped head of yours. Well, now that you got me flat top, what are you going to do with me?
You're not going to like this at all. You'll probably hate every minute of it. You're really going to get the full treatment, Dad. Oh, it's going to happen to you.
Well, what's going to happen? I'd like to laugh a little, too.
I'm going to put you in the vault, pour a pitcher of cream over your head, and then throw in a tiger with a rough tongue.
Proceed. Dick Tracy fears not your threats. The author will find a way out.
Well, you'll never get out of this vault, you marble-headed hero. First, I'll close the steel door. Now I'll twirl the combination. And now I'll slide in the bolt. There.
Hey, Junior, you forgot something. I'm still on the outside.
All right, get in this one. Fool with me, eh? I may look like I'm not much, but I am. Some people forget that. I'm the top. I'm the vicious flat top. I'm the top. Got it in for that cop. I'm a naughty boy. I'm the pride and joy of sin. So I sank my claws in old droopy drawers and locked him in. I'm a jerk. And the people love it. Never work, and I'm right proud of it. I have lots of fun when my water gun goes pop. So if you want someone flattened, call Flat Top.
Be keeping Dick Tracy. A fine wedding day this turned out to be.
No. Don't fret, Miss Trueheart, my little rum blossom. Forsooth, I see not what you want with that flat foot when I, the pride of the Flint Hearts, am available.
Well, Mr. Flintheart, I hate to say this, but you're so much older than I am.
Older? Bah! Age is in the mind, I hope. They don't call me vitamin for nothing.
Why, Mr. Flintheart, I'm shocked to hear you talk like that. And after the nice things I've heard about you from some of the other girls.
The girls are saying nice things about me?
Oh, yes.
I must be getting older than I thought. But, my dear, you don't realize the glamour that surrounds the life of an actor. I'll never forget my last appearance in Pooped Out, Nebraska. Triumph! Let me tell you about myself, Miss Trueheart, and the glorious life I lead. A wandering actor I, my life is interurban. I drink a lot of bourbon to wash down my vitamin pills. My better days were spent behind the lights and grease paint. Though I'm half shot, my heart ain't. I've got much more pep than Sinatra. Because of my capsules and my vitamin pills.
A, B, B1, C, D, E, and G.
there my vitamin is.
Well, I must say that, Mr. Flintheart, that's very interesting, but...
Okay, let's get on with it. Papa's back.
Dick! Dick, what kept you?
That rat Flat Top. He stripped off all my clothes and left me in a locked bank vault in my long underwear.
How did you manage to escape?
Through the trap door in the back. Well, everybody, let's get on with the wedding, huh?
Oh, happy, 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 happy wedding day!
Shut up! Now, I told you people I want to get Tracy married. This is one jam he'll never get out of. Now, Richard Tracy, do you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife?
I do.
And do you, Tess Trueheart, take this man to be your lawful wedded husband?
I do.
Good. Then I pronounce you man and... Well, I'll be a second lieutenant.
Hello? Hello, Tracy. Chief of Police speaking. I want to ask you a question.
What is it?
When you pick up a suspicious character, isn't it customary to frisk them?
Sure, you always frisk them.
See, what did I tell you, madam? Now hold still.
Chief, did you interrupt my wedding just for that?
Certainly not, Tracy. I've got terrible news. Snowflake has just been kidnapped.
Snowflake? Snowflake? Snowflake?
Yeah, it must be a blizzard.
Well, I'll get on this case right away, Chief. There's the only one man who could have done something as dastardly as this. The mole. I must find that blackguard and wring the truth out of him.
Oh, Richard, you're not going to leave me at the altar again. I've been dreaming of settling down in an ivy-covered cottage and raising a family. Four girls.
You got the wrong boy, but hold on to your corset. I'll be right back, Tess. Is this the subterranean entrance to the home of that villainous gopher?
Yes, better known as the hole of the mole.
Mole, I've come here to ask you a question.
I don't know where to get cigarettes either.
Now, you can't wiggle out of this one, Mole.
But I'm telling you, it had nothing to do with Snowflake's disappearance.
I said nothing about Snowflake's disappearance. How did you know she was missing?
I seen it in the newsreel.
It hasn't been in the newsreel.
I read it in the papers.
It hasn't been in the papers.
I heard it on the radio.
It hasn't been on the radio.
I wish they'd hurry up with that television.
Confess, Mole, have you had something to do with this dastardly kidnapping?
I got a perfect alibi. At the exact time of the kidnapping, I can provide six witnesses who will swear that they saw me at a table of a well-known restaurant.
You've got a perfect alibi? At the exact time of the kidnapping, you can provide six witnesses who will swear that they saw you at the table of a well-known restaurant?
This man is quoting me verbatim.
Well, if you're not a criminal, why do you live in this underground hideout?
I'll tell you, gumshoe. Oh, the folks call me the mole, 'cause I dug myself a hole. Ho, 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 and I live down there.
Below.
A reaction. Oh, my nose requires more room, so I dug an extra tomb. Ho, 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 and it lives down there. That's why they turned me down for OCS. Oh, there isn't anything finer than living down in a mine. Below, 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 beedly ho, ho, ho. That's where the worm hangs out. Everybody wants to get into the act. Oh, the folks think that I am a nut. They say I am in a rut. Ho, 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 I live down there.
Bee, 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 bee.
I'll take it.
Joel, if you'll squeal on the kidnappers, I'll see to it you get special consideration.
I am no rat.
I'll see that the police don't bother you.
I am no rat.
Well, I'll give you $1 million reward.
That's the cheese I've been waiting for. I'll tell you all. Snowflake is up in Flat Top's apartment. Even now, he's playing with bubbling champagne.
If I know Flat Top, it's Spike 7-Up. Thanks for the tip. I'm off to Flat Top's apartment. And gadzooks, I hope I'm in time.
Please, Flat Top, leave me alone.
Come over here, Snowflake. I'm going to tie you up with this rope.
That rope? You wouldn't take advantage of a poor, defenseless girl, would you?
She doesn't know me very well.
Please, please, Flat Top, I beseech you to release me.
Nothing doing. I only release them when they're over 38.
Flat Top, I appeal to you on bended knee.
Kid, you appeal to me in any position.
Oh, I'm ashamed of you. What would your mother say if she saw you acting this way?
I never had a mother.
What would your father say?
Nothing. He never had a mother either. Listen, Snowflake, how about you and I teaming up?
Oh, don't be silly. I promised my hand to Vitamin Flintheart.
Give it to him. It's the rest of you I want. What about it, Snowflake? Will you marry me?
Oh, no. What would I want with anyone with such a flat top, Flat Top? It's your joke. But at least if you were
take the blame, I tell you.
At least if you were twins, I could use you for a bookend.
I don't get sassy, Snowflake. I'm a tough guy, see? I'll show you how strong I am. Watch me rip this telephone book in half.
You couldn't.
Just watch. Now for the next page.
Please, please, Flat Top, let me go. These ropes are pressing against my flesh.
I can always replace them with me. Me, proud beauty, I've got you over a barrel.
Yes, you have got me over a barrel.
For you. When you go away, I'm going along for you. Won't you please encourage me with just a word or two? Do, do.
You're so repulsive.
Oh, you needn't say you love me, for I'm pretty sure you don't. Don't you? I'll be long for you. I'll do a wrong for you because I'm awfully strong for you. Honest little girl.
For you. When you go away, I'm going along for you.
We're going to be arrested, you know.
Please,
sir,
it's me for
just
a word or two.
Do, do, do. You're so repulsive, you need to say you
love me. Sorry, there you go. Tell me that you
like me. Tell me that I won't
be glad. That's honestly and true. I'll go along for you.
I'll do a wrong for you
because I'm awfully strong for you.
Very, very cleverly written stuff. Dave, thank you for bringing this to Erie House. This is awesome.
Like I said, this is the mad world of radio in 1945. If you had a name, you ended up here pretty much. And we've still got more stars to come yet. So, you know, looking forward to the fun that we bring with that. You know, they had so many things had licensed products. I know that you early on the Facebook page, you posted the Dick Tracy wrist radio, it was only $3.98. It had a crystal radio that really worked. You didn't need batteries or anything. It was one of those little crystal type radios that you put up the ear. You might be able to barely hear it. I think many of us had those Radio Shack crystal radios that we could make. And you didn't even have to have that if you had the right stuff. And the TV, he had the wristwatch TV in the cartoon. And he also had that kind of a jetpack type thing, but it was like a cylinder he was in that flew around. So Dick Tracy was kind of ahead of his time in some of the things. But look at some of the licensed products. For the 1960s, Aurora produced a plastic model kit of Dick Tracy sliding down a fire escape ladder into an alley in hot pursuit with drawn gun. A gun drawn. Now, you know what? That's a heck of a model there. Dick Tracy's space coupe model came next. Both have been reissued by Polar Lights, also in the market, where Dick Tracy's range of toy guns. They had Tommy guns and all kinds of things. In 1990, because of the movie that, you know, you had mentioned in the last segment, they released a line of action figures called Dick Tracy Coppers and Gangsters to coincide with the Dick Tracy movie. The figures were 5 inches tall, stylized with exaggerated comic looks, accompanied by accessories. And there was 1990 also had a Dick Tracy video game developed by Titus Software. Let's see. There was also games made for Nintendo Entertainment System in 1990, Sega Master System 1990, Sega Genesis 1990, and Game Boy 1991. In 2009, Shocker Toys released a monochromatic Dick Tracy action figure as an exclusive product for the San Diego Comic-Con. And the figure appears in a suit with a two-way wrist radio. There's also a variant figure released of Dick Tracy in his signature trench coat and fedora with a Tommy gun accessory. So there you go.
There you go. And almost as good as the Edgar G. Robinson bath soap. But, you know, hey.
Yeah, but that was best for cleaning dirty rats, you know?
Yes. Good point. Dirty rats and filthy coppers.
Yeah. There you go.
Come clean with Edgar G. Robinson. Okay, I blew that all the heck.
too much
a lot
fun.
Of radio. A lot of radio.
Too much fun.
A lot of radio. Good thing. Good thing. There's four parts to this devil, so let's get going with.
There are.
Part three of Dick Tracy in B flat from Command Proof.
Open up, flat top. Open up before I break the door down.
Why, Dick, my boy, what do you mean, flat top? This is Tess Trueheart's house. Flat Top's house is in the opposite direction. You've been driving backwards.
Oh, it's my own fault. I put Serutan in the gas tank.
You mean to say you've been driving in reverse all day?
In California, who notices it? Well, I'll get Flat Top later, but where are the wedding guests? What happened to everybody?
Now, my boy, we must be brave about this. They couldn't wait any longer. They had tickets to a Sinatra broadcast.
First it's Flat Top, now I'm having trouble with Flat Chest. See, the place is deserted. There's nothing left but a table loaded with presents.
Look under the table. I'm loaded, too.
Good old Vitamin. You're the only one who stayed with me.
I'll be gone soon.
I can't believe that Tess Trueheart has run out on me. She knows I left her at the altar 13 times. Oh, Tess. Could there be somebody else?
Where is your cloud? Where are your wings? Why is my heart hearing things like the sigh of you-know-who? Whose dream are you? Can you be loved? Can you be kissed? Or will you fade like the mist in the sky? Tell me, have you come true? Are you here in my arms? Could a dream love ever seem half so divine? Darling, whose dream are you? Maybe someday you will reveal that you are no dream. You're real. You're mine.
Oh, I am heartbroken. Fate has dealt me a most horrible blow. What else can happen to me now?
Plenty, Tracy.
Who's that?
I'm Flat Top, and I got a gun in your back. Stick him up.
I'm the mole. Stick him up. I'm the chief of police. Stick him up.
Chief, why are you sticking me up?
I like to be on the winning side.
This is the end of the trail for you, Tracy.
Yeah, you're through. There's a block of cement over your head. It's going to fall at the count of three.
Then we're going to pour gasoline over you and put a match to it.
After that, we're going to take what's left of you and put you in a bone-crushing machine.
And then to top it all, we're going to cover you with rattlesnakes.
Egad. Egad, I wonder what Superman would do in a spot like this.
Oh, happy, 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 happy.
And so we leave you until next week.
1 week later.
Perhaps you were wondering how Dick Tracy got out of his terrible predicament last week. As you may recall, when last seen, the mole and Flat Top had him under a concrete block and were getting ready to release the rattlesnakes and set fire to him. How did he get out of it? He forced himself. And I'm happy to say that the next voice you hear will be that of Mr. Tracy himself.
Hi there, Vitamin.
Oh, hello there, Dickie boy. Quite a party you're having.
Well, Vitamin, I don't get married every week.
Well, of course not. Couldn't get married every week. It'd be awful. Another honeymoon, another girl. Man couldn't. How could he possibly... What am I saying? It'd be great.
Hello, Mr. Tracy.
Hello, Mr. Tracy.
Hi.
Well, if it isn't the Summer Sisters and their sister. Girls, shake hands with Vitamin Flintheart. Don't shake too hard. With all those pills in him, he'll sound like a crap game.
Well, it's delightful to meet you girls. The Summer Sisters, eh? Which is which?
I'm May. I'm June.
I'm July.
July? Where'd you come from?
I came right ahead of my brother, August.
Well, you're for me, July. You're the hottest.
Control yourself, Vitamin. You're breaking out in capsules.
By the way, did you see all the nice presents the bride got?
Oh, yes. She has a very large trousseau. Yes, she has a very large trousseau.
Yes, she ought to wear a girdle.
Well, the girl's been sitting around for 13 years waiting to get married. Anyhow, I'm sure glad you could come to the wedding.
Oh, we wouldn't have missed it for anything, Mr. Tracy. And that's not all.
The Summer Sisters are enemies of crime. In the winter or apple blossom time.
My name is May. Oh. My name is June.
July doesn't rhyme, but it finishes up the tune.
We are singing on Tracy's wedding day. Go to marriage, we're always saying nay. It's quite a task, 'cause we ain't been asked,
darn it,
in apple glass.
girls. Look, the wedding is about to begin.
Oh, happy, 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 happy wedding day.
Shut up. Blasted musings. Now, let's get after it. You, Richard Tracy, take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife.
I do.
Good. Do you, Tess Trueheart, take this man to be your lawful wedded husband?
I do.
At last, I get my $2. I now pronounce you man and... What, no telephone? Well, good. I now pronounce you man and... Oh, nuts!
I'll get it, I'll get it. Hello?
Yes, who?
Oh, no, no. Haven't you run out of slugs yet?
Listen, Dick, did you tell me to stop a robbery on the corner of Hollywood and Vine?
No, no, Chief, I said Sunset and Vine.
Oh, sorry, gentlemen. Go right ahead.
Look, now, here. I'm very busy. I'm getting married. Come to the point.
There's terrible news again, Tracy. Remember a crook named Shaky?
Sure, I put Shaky in jail.
Well, he shook loose. Look, Tracy, I'm calling from a phone booth in a drugstore. I hate to say this, but Shaky just held it up. He's already killed 13 people.
Killed 13 people?
Yes, 10 customers, the proprietor, the janitor, and the guy who dropped in for a small Coke. No ice.
Well, don't worry, Chief. I'll capture that scoundrel, or my name ain't... This is the place.
Hey, Tracy, a word with you, my noble Dick.
Oh, it's the mole. What do you want?
When do I get to rub somebody out?
Later. Get back in that manhole. Now for the drugstore. I'll sneak up behind him. Now I've got you. Aha, you murderous villain. Reach for the sky.
Wait, Tracy, it's me.
Pardon me, Chief. Pardon me. I'm sorry. Where's Shaky?
He's over at the counter having a mullet with an egg in it.
Oh, I couldn't see him behind that straw. Go out and cover the back door, Chief. I'll deal with Shaky.
Right.
Now, I hate to be mercenary, but there's a $5,000 award for Shaky alive and a $5,000 award for Shaky dead. In his condition, I'll hit the jackpot. All right, Shaky, the jig is up. Get off that stool.
Just a minute, cop, until I finish his mall.
Oh, fine. He fell in. Climb out of there, Shaky, and start talking.
Down these jumbo straws, they suck back.
Never mind that, Shaky. You're going on a long, long trip, a one-way trip. And there's bad news at the end of it.
Just because your head looks like a crystal ball, don't be telling fortunes.
Hold the phone. What are you talking about? Dick Tracy has a beautiful head of hair.
Well, he should have lent it to you tonight.
Now, listen. Listen, you pipe cleaner and suspenders. Justice is caught up with you. You better talk and talk fast. Why did you kill 10 people in this drugstore?
Because they aggravated me.
Why did they aggravate you?
They were alive. It was maddening. All of them sitting there around me, breathing.
You're just a jealous rat, and I'm going to see that you get what's coming to you.
Oh, darn you.
You are a brute, and I'm sure of one thing. You spoil my fun before I've begun. You have that certain gruesome something. I sure do wish that you didn't have a gun.
My key, you know.
But you're a naughty one. You should be hung. You mean for the crimes I've done, for the songs I've sung.
About 50-50, it is.
Someday I'll rub you out, believe me. But till then, I've got you in my clutch. Well, brother, you ain't clutching much. Okay, I'm taking you down to the station house, and it's such a nice night. Let's walk.
If you're walking, Tracy, I'm going piggyback.
Not on this piggyback, you're not. Now, come on, quit stalling. All right, copper, I'm right behind you. Drop your gun.
Boy, am I glad to see you, Flat Top.
Shut up, small timer.
What do you mean, small timer? I just bumped off 12 people.
You couldn't bump off 12 termites in the lumber yard.
All right, wise guy. How many did you knock off today?
None I knocked off today.
Well, you certainly went by way of Dubuque to knock that one off.
Shut up, copper. I'm going to bump you off.
Don't shoot, Flat Top. This guy may be useful to us. He's got his ear to the ground, you know.
That ain't all that's dragging.
I said maybe we can do business with this guy. Every man has his price.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Listen, Tracy, how would you like to make some easy money?
Honestly?
Cross my black heart, it's a cinch.
I shall pretend to take their filthy bribe, and by so doing, round up the entire gang.
I might be willing to talk business with you, Flattop. If my cut of the swag is big enough.
Good, then. It's a deal.
All right, let's shake on it.
I'm tired of shaking. Let's see.
We're three pin-up boys, filled with charm and poise. Tracy,
a shaky, and Flattop.
I'll make justice win.
Please don't fence us in.
Tracy,
shaky, Flat Top.
We're just two little sheep that lost our way around. I'll keep you locked in jail, no matter how you pound and pound. Oh, what are we to do? Listen, Muggs, you're through. Tracy,
a shaky, and Flat Top.
Hey, Flat Top, what did you do with Snowflake?
I had the mole take her down to Gravel Gertie's gravel pit.
Let's all go out there.
Just a second, Tracy. You ain't got any ideas about pinching anybody, have you?
No, just Snowflake. Really, I'm one of you now. I'd even step on her foot if you wanted me to.
Would you twist her arm?
Yeah, would you punch her in the nose?
Yes. And may the district attorney forgive me.
Okay, but no tricks now. I'll be watching you.
Good. Let us away.
Toward the same destination as another car. Leave us see who is in it.
Oh, wow. That almost sounded like a Dashiell Hammett line. Leave us see who did it.
Yes. So true, but boy, oh boy, there's more action in this episode of Commander Performance than any episode of Dick Tracy. That's for darn sure.
Yep. It's rapid fire. Even Fogsbane commented earlier, it's kind of hard to keep up.
Oh, this is, like I said, I first heard this when I was in junior high school, and I've never, ever, ever forgotten it. Now you know why. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yep, and again, we are all grateful, I'm sure, not just me, but our listeners, for you bringing us here to Eerie House Radio. I don't know what Saratan is. That's something from the era, obviously.
I think it's an anti-aging cream or something.
Yeah. There's some racist humor in this, too.
Yes, there is. Actually, there's a few things that I think may have been thrown in that weren't necessarily written in, but then you expect that out of Bob Hope, you know?
Yep. Yep, but yet tactfully done, and that's the best kind of humor, I think. And strung together in song with Dick Tracy and B Flat as we celebrate, 90 years since the first published comic strip.
Yeah, did you want to talk a little bit about the 1990 feature film that Disney put out? Okay.
No, I hated it. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. Sure.
Absolutely amazing. At some point, there were a lot of people who didn't think it would ever get made because Warren Beatty was the star, and he kept getting the directors. He went through two directors, and they quit on him. And that's how he ended up becoming, I think Disney said, look, it can't work with it. You have to direct this. So he ended up directing it. I thought it was amazing the way they did it.
That was a star-studded cast, too, for that film.
It was. I was looking here. I have to pull that up to see the actual cast. It has a lot of things in here. I know Madonna actually was interesting in that. What's his name? Mumbles was Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah. I think De Niro was one of the.
Yeah, Fish was Fish. The guy that played Fish, Abe Vigoda. I thought he was dead when this. He looked actually looked better than he did on Barney Miller. yeah. But Abe Vigoda was in that. He was one of the bad guys. Just absolutely, absolutely. It was hilarious. And the coloring that they had it, you know, made it look almost very comic bookish as well.
Yep, that bright yellow trench coat. You got to have it.
Yep, and the other, I enjoyed it. I took my boys there to see that as well in the theater. And we didn't go to a lot of movies, but I did take the boys to go see that one. Maybe because I wanted to see it as much as they did, you know.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it was just, again, you're right, another all-star cast. Just so much fun. Hang on a second. I think I got this. Let me see. Here is the Dick Tracy film. Let's see who was all in that. Oh, come on. You're not going to give me that cast like that? All right, fine.
Ernest Borgnine.
Okay, War yeah. And he had a tail. Warren Beatty was Dick Tracy. Al Pacino was Alphonse Big Boy Caprice. Madonna was Breathless. The blank Mahoney. Glenn Headley was Tess Tuhart. Charlie Carsmo was a street orphan. Dick Van Dyke was the district attorney.
Wow.
Kathy Bates was a stenographer. Frank Campanella was Judge Harper. Charles Durning was Chief Brandon. In the mob, Dustin Hoffman was Mumbles. William Forsythe was Flat Top. James Tolkien was Caprice's accountant. Mandy Patinkin was 88 Keys, a piano player. Paul Sorvino was Lips Manless. I'm looking here. James Caan was Spud Spinaldi. Catherine O'Hara was Texie Garcia. I think that's most of the names I remember there. But, yeah. And it was an amazing cast, so...
Earlier I said De Niro, but that's right. I was wrong. It was it was Al Pacino that was in it.
Yeah,
the main villain.
I didn't. Al Pacino was in the. I thought it was a neat trick when they had Mumbles, which was Dustin Hoffman. And all he did was mumble, but they opened up this bear's head or something with a wire recorder, and when they slowed it down, they could understand every word that he said. I thought that was hilarious.
Yep. It's a great gag. Right. And I think in a way somewhat respectful nod to the comic strip that film was.
I believe so, too, yes. They did, again, with the coloring and everything, they did. They truly tried to make it. A lot of people didn't like Madonna in there, but you know what? I thought she did an all right job.
She did fine.
Yeah.
We'll keep her. I don't know what that means.
I don't know either.
I think that means
on to Act Four.
Yes, I do know that we are enjoying Dick Tracy in B flat from Command Performance.
Woe is me, woe is me. Helpless in the foul clutches of the mole.
Just a minute, slow fake. My clutch. Just a minute, slow flake. My clutch may slip a little, but it ain't foul. Besides, I do not mean you any harm, comely wrench.
Beside me.
We gotta smoke something, don't we? I told Flat Top and Shaker to drive out here, too. Wouldn't it be funny if we all got here at the exact same time? You know, ask silly questions. questions, you get silly answers. Ah, well, this was a hot car anyway, and it's a cinch theirs was, too.
Hey, Mo, why don't you watch where you're driving?
I put my hand out.
Well, here it is.
And may I return your windshield wiper?
Let go, that's me.
Wait, look! What is this monster crawling out from behind the rock?
Rabble Gertie.
Well, hiya, folks! How y'all doing, boy? Come on!
My name is Snowflake. And if you don't let me go, I'll call the cops.
You hear that, Tracy? She's going to call the cops. Ha, yak, yak. Yeah.
What? You, Dick Tracy, that represents all that's clean and honest, has turned viper?
Just a minute ago, I was a windshield viper.
That's what I ought to do.
Say, Gertie, you look pretty good tonight.
Yeah, I think I look awful. The laundry put too much starch in my hair.
I think it's beautiful. I'd like to run through it barefooted.
You got the feet that can stand it.
Come on, sit on my knee, Molly, and I'll serenade you with a mandolin.
Tell me all about yourself, Chrissy.
High-pitched chompers and my low-heeled shoes and my long hair sweeping up the rug. I ran into a racy Dick whose name was Tracy and wound up in the jug. With his snap grim Kelly and his square-cut jaw, he was quite the handsomest of men. When I started BM, the DA gave me 10 and I'm back in the pen again. Went the wagon, crawl, 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 wet my skin. Snap, 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 went the bracelet, and that flatfoot invited me in. He tipped his hat, I took a seat, and then I tried my best to stamp upon his feet. He took my arm, gave it a twist, and gently played a serenade upon my wrist. Clang, clang, clang went the wagon. Har, har, har went the growl. Snap, snap, snap went the bracelet. As I started to leave, he collected my sleeve with his hand. And as if it were planned, with the utmost of grace, kicked me right in a place only Tracy could find.
That was great, Gertie.
Yeah, but we haven't bumped anybody off in hours. Let's rub Snowflake out.
Oh, no, no, you mustn't. You mustn't. I'm too young to be fractured.
They're never too young. Where's my Tommy gun?
I'm glad you asked that, Flat Top, because while Gertie was singing, I disarmed you all. Now, reach for the sky, you rats. Again, reach for the sky. Every 2 minutes is calisthenics. What a triumph this is. Single-handed Tracy has rounded up 4 public enemies. No other Dick can make this statement. Hooray! Hooray! May I be the first to congratulate you? Hooray! What am I cheering about? I'm headed for the electrical harakari. I'll say you are, all of you.
Quit taking bows, you ham cop. If I had my gun back, I'd fill you so full of holes you'd have to go on the air for Swiss cheese. Hark! Here comes a horse.
Yes, and look who's on it. My lover, Vitamin Flint Heart Test, True Heart, the Summer Sisters, and old Josh Over.
This has got to be the finale.
Yes, on with the wedding. On with the wedding. Let's all get married. Everybody pick a bride.
Only one to a customer.
Yeah, every place you go, rationing.
The cast moves forward as the curtain rises and falls to take their bows. Bob Hope as Flat Top.
needn't say you love me for. I'm pretty sure you don't. But tell me that you like me, and there's nothing that I won't be glad to do that, honestly and true. I'll go along for you, I'll do a wrong for you, because I'm awfully strong for you.
The Andrews Sisters as the Summer Sisters.
Now the author at last is getting old. We'll be married in spite of Chester Gould.
The mole.
Oh, my girl said, yes, you see, pretty soon we will be three. Oh, 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 my bride and my nose and me.
That's Bailey as Gravel Gertie. As Stinky.
My bride must stay home and obey me, and brother, I'll never let her sing. So I'd much rather
Morgan as Vitamin Flintheart, and Judy Garland as Snowflake.
Meet me in the barroom, Snowflake. Come, my maiden fair.
We'll read lives from Shakespeare, Flintheart, any place but there.
We'll have a scotch and soda.
Yes, but not while you are plastered.
Dinah Shore as Tess Trueheart and Bing Crosby as Dick Tracy.
Whose dream are you? Where is your cloud? Where are your wings? Why is my heart hearing things like the sigh of a moonbeam?
married and lived happily ever after, in black and white on weekdays and in full color every Sunday. We hope you've enjoyed this harrowing session with Chester Gould's famous cartoon characters. And now, oh, this is Harry Bonzel, who can only say, this is what is left of the Armed Forces Radio Service.
Happy. Oh, sorry.
And you know what? The one name that never got mentioned throughout that whole thing was a guy who was also stuck in the military special services that was all kind of strung together by Meredith Wilson, who would go on to lead orchestras for many radio shows, and including the, creating and writing the musical The Music Man.
His
was not listed. Also on Chester Gould's page, they have a special page dedicated to Dick Tracy and B-flat. And it said, in May of 1945, Chet joined members of the Syndicate and Tribune staff in WGN's broadcast studios for a special preview of the show. Legendary Chicago columnist Irv Kumpichit reported in his Chicago Times column that the person who chuckled the heartiest at the recorded shenanigans was Chester Gould. To little surprise among those who knew Chet, Gould laughed again as he later shared his thoughts with editor and publisher. It's amazing that what we scribbled on drawing board can become something as thrilling as that show. Der Bingle, as Crosby was referred to during the war, even decided afterward to record Happy Wedding Day with the Andrews Sisters, produced by Meredith Wilson once again.
There you go.
There you go.
And I think maybe we could learn something from this now.
Uh-oh. Did you have something? Because I don't. I have too much fun.
Erie House Radio tentatively presents Agarless, Moral of the Story. If you got the face for it, be a mole. Off the cuff.
There you go. There you go. Such fun.
Dug that such right fun. Out of that. Yeah. Okay, so that was the comedic part of our program and a cleverly written musical. But we got a little bit more Dick Tracy for you.
Yeah, I don't think we've shared any Dick Tracy. We were looking earlier, and we didn't find it. This may be the first episode. And when you think of Dick Tracy, you think of the kids, right? Is that what you think of in general? But what also is kind of funny, because when Dick Tracy was on TV for 2 years, it kind of it was – parents were complaining all the time because of all of the violence in there. This particular episode of Dick Tracy is not a normal one where Dick is chasing criminals around. And to show what heavy matter that they dealt with at times, I thought that was the reason for sharing this particular Dick Tracy episode, Dale.
Ooh. The one we're playing now will be the case of the hooting owl.
Yes. And I was looking for that. I don't know that I have a. I don't know that I have a date for this one. Hoot hoot! Yes. Oh yes, I do.
Yeah.
January 10th of 1944.
And now, Dick Tracy.
The wounds are closing in, Marcus.
Nothing much we can do now, Junior. Nothing but wait for the end.
This is Dick Tracy, leading a search party on a hunt for Junior and Marcus and Joe in the case of the Hooting Owl.
Yes, it's Dick Tracy, protector of law and order. Well, boys and girls, you know what a password is. That's a secret word that soldiers use to get past the sentry and up to the front. Well, here's a password that will get you up to the front in bike races, on the baseball diamond, in all kinds of games. It's energy. You see, the faster you go, the more energy you need. So if you want to win, you have to have lots of energy. And the swellest way I know to get it is just by eating delicious chocolatey Tootsie Rolls. Boy, they're cram jam full of energy. More energy units in one penny Tootsie Roll than you use circling the bases 36 times or when you're riding your bike 3 whole miles. And it's fast energy. Why, no sooner do you pop a Tootsie Roll in your mouth than you can practically feel new strength in your muscles. And what's more, Tootsie Rolls are good, wholesome food. They're made with plenty of nourishing bodybuilding milk. So next time you have a penny to spend or a nickel, well, if you have a nickel, get the big jumbo-sized Tootsie Roll. And don't forget, the long-lasting penny Tootsie Rolls give you a lot for your money, too. A penny Tootsie Roll is still only a penny. A nickel Tootsie Roll is still 5 cents. And now, Dick Tracy. Well, our friends are now in the great Northwest, where they've gone to solve the strange mystery of the Hooting Owl. In our last episode, Marcus and Joe and Junior went on a hunting trip in the mountains. Moccasin was badly hurt in a fight with a mountain lion. Then, as our last episode ended, a fierce blizzard was raging, and Junior, while trying to cut firewood, began to grow sleepy, a sign of approaching death by freezing. Well, let's join Junior and Moccasin Joe in the mountains. The storm rages. Moccasin lies on the ground in the snow. Junior stands nearby, his arm lifting wearily as he tries to cut some pine branches. Listen.
You mustn't go to sleep, Junior. You hear? You've got to keep awake.
Sure, Moccasin. Sure.
But you are falling asleep. I can see the way you're acting. Your head is nodding. Your arm as it cuts that wood, slowing down. Junior. Junior, snap out of it.
Won't fall asleep. Won't keep awake.
You're going to sleep fast, and you don't know it. Oh, if I could get up from here. Got to get up. To crawl over to it. He mustn't go to sleep.
Don't worry about me. Be all right. Just feel a little sleepy. That's all.
That's the first sign of death by freezing. Junior, you mustn't. You hear me? You mustn't.
Can't help it, Moccasin. I feel very sleepy. Just gonna lie down. Lie down for a little while.
No, Junior. Don't lie down in the snow. Junior. Great heavens, he's asleep. Sleep in the snow. Lying there with the snow covering him fast. Got to do something. Got to get to him. Maybe I can crawl to him. Maybe. There. A little more. Just a little more. Pain. Got to reach him. Got to reach him. There. Now, if I can slap his face, to slap him hard, wake him up. June, come on, lad. Snap out of it. June. Wake up here. Boy, wake up.
No. Sleepy. Want to sleep.
You can't sleep. Won't let you. Wake up.
Go away, Marcus. Hurry, sweet. You sleep, too. Good to sleep. Feel, tired.
You can't. Got to keep awake. Keep awake till help comes. Blast you, wake up. Wake up, you hear?
All right, Marcus. All right. Don't get mad. Didn't mean to make you mad.
Not angry with you, boy, but we're in a bad spot.
Yes. You're right.
If I start to go to sleep, you've got to keep me awake.
Okay, Marcus. Okay.
We'd better get that fire started now. There's enough wood to keep it going.
All right, I'll do it. Where are the matches?
Matches? You had them, Junior.
I did.
You took them out of my coat pocket, remember?
Yeah, I remember. But what did I do with them? Where did I put them?
Maybe in one of your pockets. Look, boy, look. We've got to find those matches.
Let me see. No, not this one. Moccasin. I haven't got them.
You must have them, Junior. You've got to have them.
Remember now, I did put them in my pocket, Moccasin. I did put them there. They must have fallen out.
Fallen out? The snow has covered them by this time. You've got to find them, Junior. We've got to.
Yes, Moccasin. You're right. We've got to find them.
All right, men, hold up.
This is the base of the mountain.
Hey, look, Tex. Moccasin's horse, Rainbow, stopped at this spot. This must be where Junior and Moccasin started in the mountains.
No doubt of that, Dick. But great heavens, man, it'll be like looking for a needle in a haystack. With the added danger of getting lost ourselves.
Now, we've got a chance at Tex.
Oh, of course we do. Now, listen, men. We've got to cover the mountain. The best way to do it is to drive as if we were driving for deer.
Driving for deer, Tex?
Yes. Out here, when we have deer drives, the men line up in a row, each man about 25 yards from the other. We start through the woods in that line. Each man carries a whistle and signals every 10 minutes to the others, so that the line remains as straight as possible. And that way, we cover every inch of territory and have more of a chance of getting game.
Oh, I see. Well, let's get started, Tex.
Right. Well, spread out, men.
Okay.
Now, you've all got your whistles. You've all done this before. Well, that's all. Let's go. You stay with me, Dick. We'll drive together.
All right, Tex. Come on, let's get started.
Oh, it's a fierce night. Snowing so bad, I can't see them more than 2 feet ahead.
There's a good chance of getting lost in these mountains, isn't there?
I'm afraid so. I've got a hand axe with me, though, and I'm going to blaze the trail.
All right. How far can we go through this tangled growth?
Just keep going, Dick. Keep your head down. Protect your face as much as possible from the backlash of the branches.
Okay. Tex, what do you really think? What are our chances of finding Junior and Moccasin?
Not too good, Dick. I'm placing my hopes on the fact that Moccasin Joe is an experienced woodsman. The first thing he'd do, I'm sure, would be to bivouac for the night and make a fire. Now, if we can sight the fire, everything will be all right.
But suppose they weren't able to make a fire?
I'm not even letting myself think of that. All right, let's go on.
All right.
That's the boys signaling. All right, Dick. Keep moving ahead.
How we know if anybody finds something?
Well, he'll blow the usual signal. 3 short, quick blasts on the whistle.
I see.
Well, there's plenty of hard climbing ahead of us. And what with this blizzard and all, we're going to need all the strength we've got. Every last ounce of it. Come on.
Matches are gone, Moccasin. Can't find them.
You sure, Junior?
Covered every inch of ground. They're just not here.
If I had a little strength, I'd make a fire Indian fashion. Rub 2 sticks together, but...
Maybe I could do it. Show me how.
No. Takes practice.
Yeah.
Lots of practice.
Buckethead, what are we going to do?
We're lost, boy. Lost in a blizzard. Can't make the one thing we need. Fire. That means we got very little chance of getting out.
Moccasin. Moccasin, you're getting sleepy.
Awfully sleepy, Junior. Just let your boot to sleep.
No, Moccasin, you can't. If you go to sleep, I'll never be able to wake you. You know that.
I'll wake up. Don't worry. You just let me sleep.
His eyes are closed. At least I'll have to slap his face the way he slapped mine. Moccasin. Moccasin, wake up. Do you hear, Moccasin? Wake up.
Yes. Well, stay awake, Junior. Stay awake.
He don't blame you for wanting to sleep. What's that? What is it, Moccasin?
Wolves. Timber wolves.
Wolves? Gosh, Moccasin.
Where's your bow?
It's right here.
How many arrows have you?
Let me see. One, two, three. That's three of them.
Three. Well, that's something. Those wolves have smelled us, and they're gathering. They found us, circling in closer and closer. Be ready for a rush.
I'm ready. I think.
Junior, quick. Here comes one now.
Okay.
Good boy. You hit him.
Yes, but Moccasin, I didn't kill him.
Well, the wolves are closing in, and Moccasin and Junior are short of arrows. Can they hold out until Tracy and Tex find them? Now, in a moment, we'll return to the adventures of Dick Tracy. But first, boys and girls, you know, right about now, you're probably worrying about getting good marks in school. Well, now listen to this. Studying is just like anything else. It takes energy. And if you want to be sure to pass those exams, well, you'll need plenty of energy. So drink all the milk that Mom gives you, get plenty of sleep, eat lots of healthful vegetables, and plenty of nourishing energy food. And then you just take it from me, well, you just can't miss. And remember, too, boys, these Tootsie Rolls, these chocolate Tootsie Rolls, are real energy food. You bet they are. One penny Tootsie Roll alone contains more energy units than you use in studying 2 whole hours. And Tootsie Energy is fast energy, too. Yes, sir, there's no long waiting for it. You can fairly feel chewy, chocolatey Tootsie Rolls change into pep almost the minute you eat them. What's more, they're made with wholesome, nourishing bodybuilding milk. So tell Mom all about how good for you Tootsie Rolls are. Then see how fast you get your Tootsie Penny every day. Or maybe you want to get the big jumbo size for only a nickel. Either way, you sure get a lot for your money in a Tootsie Roll. And now, back to Dick Tracy.
Keep a sharp eye, Junior. Soon another of them will be rushing in.
Here comes another. There.
Good shot, Junior.
Well, I've only got one arrow left.
Well, Junior and Moccasin are in a pretty serious spot. Will Dick Tracy and his searching party arrive in time? To find out what happens, gang, be sure to be with us tomorrow, same time, same station. Tune in and follow the adventures of Dick Tracy. This is Don Gardner speaking. Say, mothers, when youngsters refuse to eat vegetables, drink milk, try this easy mealtime psychology. Put chewy, chocolatey Tootsie Rolls beside their plate as an extra dessert. Then notice how quickly they clean up their plates and empty their glasses. And the benefits are twofold, because Tootsie Rolls are a fine, wholesome energy food themselves, rich in dextrose and health-building milk. So get several big, jumbo-sized nickel Tootsie Rolls. Nibble them yourself to help ward off housework fatigue, or put them in your husband's lunchbox. keep Tootsie Rolls on hand for the whole family.
A message from the Tootsie Roll Corporation of the United States of America.
only 1944 would they be so brazen as to, you know, put Tootsie Roll right up there as good for you as broccoli, you know? Come on.
Isn't it? You mean it's not?
In my book it is, but, you know, I thought that pure energy was like just plain sugar overload.
What? But, well, look, you know how I feel about what the Surgeon General says. I don't pay a whole lot of attention to that guy, all right?
Throughout this frightening episode of Dick Tracy, I think there's still something that someone can learn from it, Dale.
Yeah, like me being prepared would be good. Eerie House Radio barely presents Godless Moral of the Story.
It's apologies to Gar. Just a note to the writers. If you're going to call an episode The Case of the Hooting Owl, you should have a hooting owl in there. There you go.
Bye-bye.
Hello.
Hello.
We can barely hear you.
We can barely hear you. Yeah.
Just a moment.
There'll be an adjustment here, folks.
Yeah, that's the one thing we don't have adjustments on is the callers, the line that comes in.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. It sounds a bit like CW.
I think it's CW. Yes. No, I know it's CW. But, our mystery guest, please sign
in.
There you go.
I must be in a dead zone.
Ah, you and Stephen King. Yeah.
There you go.
And as we all know, Tootsie Roll is street lingo for, well, never mind.
No, now you're making me
curious. Wait a second. I'm not well versed in street. I'm not real well versed in that kind of street lingo.
You got our morbid curiosities raised now.
I make me stay morbid.
It sounds terrible.
Yeah, I think the Tootsie Roll people, in cahoots with the food camp people, mentioning Tootsie Rolls all the time.
Yep. Having a little difficulty with the microphone there at CW.
Yep.
Okay, hang on.
Oh, wait.
Uh-oh. I heard that one.
Okay, let's see. Any better here?
A little better, yeah. That's a little better, sure.
There you go.
Just kind of clamp on the roof.
There, much better. You can now be on the roof. Don't fall.
Yeah, you don't want to climb on the roof here. It's raining here, so yeah, be careful.
Yeah.
Either that or get a coat hanger and wrap it in foil. That's the only other thing I can think of.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, yeah. Sorry, Gar couldn't make it. Sorry, I'm coming in late, but
that's okay.
You're in, yay!
We're always glad to have you, especially when we have extra time, because we always could use a little assistance when we get down to the extra time, right, Dale?
Absolutely. You have no idea how exhaustive, how tiring it is to spin the wheel of radio, or worse yet, dig into your pocket for a nickel for the jukebox.
Yes, those wooden nickels are so hard to come by nowadays.
And you know how cheap I am. I'm cheap. Cheap.
Cheap.
Well,
cheap,
you have a growing dog to feed, so, you know, yeah, I can understand that.
Oh, my gosh, is he growing. He just turned 6 months, 57 and a half pounds around there.
Oh, my. Can you say Cujo?
Not really Cujo. I don't know that there exists softer fur than a rough collie. There ain't nothing rough about the fur, let me tell you. That is one soft dog.
Aww.
He's like the most huggable thing.
Aww. Such a nice puppy. Sounds like he may have gotten a little bit of St. Bernard or Newfoundland or some other big breed that snuck in there.
No, he came from a breeder. His dad was a monster. His dad was close to 80 pounds.
Straight out of Chernobyl?
Yes.
Here you go.
He only has one eye in the middle.
So where shall we go? Actually, we probably have time for one of each, I would imagine.
Yep.
I happen to have a coin I'm willing to part with.
Oh, all righty. That sounds great. Let's get to the right damn place here. Scrolling. Yes, he would like to place said coin of the realm into the electrical device. I am prepared.
Very good. And here is one plug nickel for you. One.
This is the Big Show, and Tallulah Bankhead is about to introduce...
Darling, right. Here she is, the one, the only, the most vibrant young singer in show business today, singing Get Happy from her latest MGM picture, Summer Stock, Miss Judy Holliday. Forget your troubles, come on, get happy. You better chase all your cares away. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. Get ready for the judgment day. Sun is shining, come on, get happy. The Lord is waiting to take your hand. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. We're going to the promised land. We're heading for the river. Throw your sins away in the tide. It's all so side. Forget your troubles, come on, get happy. You better chase all your cares away. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. Get ready for the judgment day. Forget your troubles, come on, get happy. Chase your cares away. Hallelujah, get happy before the judgment day. Sun is shining, come on, get happy. See, the Lord is waiting to take your hand. Shout hallelujah. Come on, get happy. We're gonna be going to the promised land. We're heading across the river. Wash your sins away in the tide. It's quiet and peaceful on the other side. Forget your troubles, get happy. Your cares fly away. Shout hallelujah, get happy. Get ready for your judgment day. Come on, get happy, chase your cares away. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. Get ready for the judgment day. Sun is shining, come on, get happy. Lord is waiting to take your hand. Hallelujah, come on, get happy. We're going to the promised land. Heading for the river, throw your sins away in the tide. It's all so peaceful. Side. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. You better chase all your cares away. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready for the judgment day.
Question. Is Judy Garland the best person to go to for advice on how to be happy?
Got some pills that can make you happy. But you know, I did see that movie Summer Stock, and it starred Judy Garland and Gene Kelly. And I tell you, the most amazing moments. I also had Phil Silvers actually doing even a musical number in there. I wasn't a big fan of Phil Silvers. When I saw him in this film, I had a whole new respect for him. Anyway, one of the most amazing moments you'll find in that movie, if you do get a chance to see it at some point, is a dance number that Gene Kelly does with a wooden chair, a creaky board, and a newspaper. And he creates an entire dance scene with those three things. Nothing
Gene
else.
Gene Kelly can do
with
it.
Those three things.
And if anyone can do it, that's the guy.
Yeah.
We're talking about a guy who danced with an animated mouse, so I'm not,
yes.
I'm not surprised.
And
long
that was,
before
that was
CGI. Yep.
Yeah, and that was something that they wanted to do, and of course it was MGM, so of course it was going to be Jerry Mouse. But when Gene wanted to do it, the studio said, you can't do it. So he approached Disney, and Walt said, what you want to do is impossible, but I'll lend you my best animators. And he did, and that's how that scene came out.
And
so
impossible it was not. Yeah.
Yep.
So just like Reese's Pieces got all the publicity in E.T. because Eminem said no to Steven Spielberg.
Yes.
Oops.
Exactly. Oh, that was fun, though. You know, that was Judy Garland's second appearance on our show tonight.
So, there you go.
I will have to go into the archives because I chimed in so late.
Oh, my gosh.
I tell you what, a good one. You're really going to enjoy it. It's
a treat.
It is. Something I've been wanting to share for over 5 years, and we finally got to it. So we got from here, I think we still have time for the lovely CW to step up to that wheel of radio, Dave.
Yeah, give us old guys a break and do some of the manual labor, if you please.
Woman's work is never done. Gee, picking up after you guys. Oh, my gosh. Okay, hang on. I'm sliding down the roof just a second. Okay, here we go. Up the podium and towards the wheel. And here we spin.
Around and around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
Havan, is it true that Jolson is leaving radio?
That's right, Groucho.
Didn't you see the announcement about Jolson going off the air?
Well, then I'm just the man Jolson will want to see. I've got some business opportunities for him that should make him independently poor.
Here he comes.
Well, hello, Groucho. How are you, boy?
Hello, Al. It's good to see a strange face among all these familiar people. Hey, LeVan, open up this Elgin American Compact and take a powder. Now, Joseph, how would you like to be a traveling salesman?
I don't want to do any traveling. I want to stay home with my wife.
Well, I've got a better idea. You travel and I'll stay home with your wife. Now, the first thing a salesman needs is a new car.
Well, naturally.
I just happen to have a nice sedan that's a steal at $300, and I ought to know because I'm the one that sold it.
Well, I'm not buying, so don't waste your time.
But it's a great car. It's a new 1920 Hudson, the only car that steps down and gets under you. This car is complete with all accessories. It has a nice bumper in front. It takes a size 34 pedestrian.
A car with just a bumper in front. How about the rear of the car?
My Aunt Sadie sits way back and wears a bustle. Jolson, you've got to buy this car. Think of the fun you can have going on long rides.
Well, how far can you go on a gallop?
Well, that depends on the girl.
What now, Louis? Forget it, Groucho. Wait a minute. Forget it, Groucho. I am not.
Or a fifth, huh?
Now, will you wait a minute? Now, wait a minute now.
Keep me hanging on these straight lines, Al.
I'm not buying a second-hand car.
This is a good car, Al. I'll let you in on a little secret.
Yeah?
Gypsy Rose Lee used to own it.
Gypsy Rose Lee used to own it?
Yeah.
How'd you find out?
Every time the car hears music, it slips its gears. Jolson, I'm not here to bandy words with you. Yeah. How would you like to go into the ice business? I have 4,000 tons of ice.
What would I do with 4,000 tons of ice?
You could melt it up. It makes swell water.
Now, Groucho, look, if I go into any business while waiting for television, it'll have to be something that can use my talents. I happen to be known as a singer, you know.
Yes, it's funny how that happens. Al, would you consider a job at a self-service nightclub?
I've worked in clubs.
I know.
Good ones in Frisco all over, years ago, you know.
On the coast.
Oh, sure. Las Vegas, too, but anyway. Years ago, I sang in a wonderful nightclub. Every night, we serve a different food.
There's lavish place here, huh?
Yeah, well, I cut it out. But anyway. I'll get the joke in if it kills me. Well, anyway.
Well, probably will.
Every night.
Why didn't you want to say lavish place, huh?
Huh?
I'm not good enough for you, lavish place, huh? Three writers slaving all week, and you cut out their words as soon as
I don't know what lavish means. Well, anyway. Every night we serve a different food.
I don't know what it means either, but it sounds
good. All right, we'll go back to it.
Okay.
Years ago, I sang in a very lavish place. All right?
Hey, you've been in that place a long while, haven't you?
Well, every night they serve a different food, and the waitresses wore costumes I went with the dinner. On the night we had roast beef, they wore English costumes.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to say.
Lavish place. On the night we had enchiladas, the girls wore Spanish costumes.
How spicy.
Well, we finally got closed up.
Well, how come? Randy, you're looking for two other fellas. How come?
Well, I gotta go back to it again.
Yeah.
What, on the night we had roast
beef? You going back and working that place again?
In the lavish place.
Well, they closed it up. I forgot to tell you.
Let me get this, will you?
Okay.
On the night we had roast beef, they wore English costumes.
Yeah.
On the night
oh,
we
nice.
Had...
You get the same answer from me no matter how many times you...
On the night we had enchiladas, the girl wore Spanish costumes.
How spicy.
We finally got closed up.
Well, how come?
The chef forgot and served oysters.
Well, how come?
The chef forgot and served raw oysters.
Jolson, how'd you like to buy a laundry?
Oh, a laundry's a good business.
Jolson, I'm not going to swindle you with an old-fashioned hand laundry where they just wash hands.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to swindle you. I'm going to swindle you at one of those stores filled with washing machines.
You mean a laundromat?
What do you know about laundromats?
Well, I took my laundry to one of those places once. I met a beautiful girl at the next machine. I was so excited, we got our bundles mixed. And today, I'm the only man in the casino who wears black lace undies.
Likely story and probably true. I'll never forget the first time I took my bundle to the store. I met a gorgeous blonde.
Yeah?
Oh, Al, it was wet wash at first sight.
Is your crack of an acquaintance?
Yes, I passed her my soap chips, and I asked her if she cared to have a pinch of my luck.
I did it, huh?
No, she just went on washing, pausing only long enough to put my head in the mangle.
Now, wait a minute, Groucho. I might be interested in this laundromat business. While the machines are doing the laundry, I could think to the people.
Novel idea, and Levan could accompany you on the Bendix.
Groucho, you're just trying to make a sucker out of me. Let me tell you something, Groucho Marx. The man doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. That can make a fool out of Jolson. I wasn't born yesterday, you know.
Well, that's the understatement of the year. Well, how would you like to buy Arthur Murray's dancing school?
Now, wait a minute. That interests me. Groucho, you have Arthur Murray's power of attorney?
I don't know. Bring his attorney around sometime and I'll wrestle him.
Oh, you're crazy.
You think I'm crazy? You ought to see my brother Groucho.
But you're Groucho.
I am?
Yes, sure.
Well, that explains why I played the harp so badly today.
Groucho, you're driving me nuts. Once and for all, I don't want to buy anything.
You're not going to buy anything? I'm going to President Truman and sell him Alaska.
Just a minute, Groucho. The United States already owns Alaska. They bought it from the Russians.
Well, I haven't been reading the papers lately. I didn't know we were doing business with them again. So long.
Groucho Marx and the great Al Jolson.
Hey, you know what? I think the writers had an easier job when Groucho Marx joined the show for a week because they only had to write half the script because Groucho Marx never stayed on it. And, you know, it's just...
Yeah. Mine would turn on a dime and just it's incredibly funny.
It's just amazing how quick wit he had.
Yeah. Just like Robin Williams. Robin Williams could do the same exact same thing. If you go on YouTube and see when he was on there, the Johnny Carson show, especially when Jonathan Winters was on there, it was hilarious.
Yep.
Don't drink anything or otherwise it'll fly out of your nose. I did.
Mel Brooks was like that too. When interviewed, he would just, Oh, my gosh. You never knew what he was going to do or what direction he was going to go.
Yep. You knew it was going to be funny. That's the only thing you knew. Some people are just so amazingly fast that it just blows my mind. You know, when I write something I think is clever or something, I think of all the time it took me to write that, and then something that quick comes along to somebody, it ticks me off.
No, be patient with yourself. Not genius. That's right. Is sometimes a lightning in the bottle, or sometimes it takes a while to get there, but it's all good.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm working on low voltage batteries. What can I say?
So I know you're a comic fan, CW, and we continue our salute to the comic strips. We, of course, celebrated Dick Tracy all day today. Tomorrow, it's Blondie and Archie Andrews.
Oh, yes, indeed. Don't forget, everyone, Dagwood sandwiches all around and malted milkshakes from Chalk Pop's Chocolate Shop.
Have either of you ever actually made a Dagwood sandwich?
I made something when I was a kid and woke up early and everybody was asleep. And I don't know why, but I just threw everything I could think of that sounded good because I wasn't allowed to cook. And not that I can cook. But anyway, it was bread and lettuce and tomato and bologna and salami and some pickles and some tomatoes and some other stuff.
Yeah.
And
I don't know,
maybe a can of sardines, a Vienna sausage and some other stuff. This is when I was eating meat and I don't know. And
you lost me at the sardines.
Sorry. That didn't kill me.
Going good there for a minute. All right, the British lady has warned me that my clock is way off here, so we'll try to time the ending well for once. And I ask you to join us tomorrow at 6:30 again for Blondie, Archie Andrews, maybe CW will join us again. But Dave and I will be here, and we hope you join us again. Thanks, everyone, for coming in here live. Of course, CW, thanks for joining us on the phone here, and Fogsbane, GGS by paper, Rob Smith, thanks for joining us live in the chat. Yes, indeed.
Thank you. Always fun.
It is, and Halloween is right around the corner. We are just about ready to release the full schedule for Halloween week, which will begin, the 27th, I believe. 27th, 8th, 30, yeah. 26th.
Yep.
I don't know. We'll put that list out there, and you'll know, and we'll know at the same time.
Oh, well done.
I love surprises.
It's right. Good luck in prison. We'll see you tomorrow at 6:30.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him. When next we meet in Frankenstone. Don't come alone.
So they missed the candle part. It was pretty close. It was like 12 seconds left when she. I had a 1:42 left when she said
actually mine showed it didn't go into the red until after the low. So it may be there.
Yeah, it said like 11 seconds when the audio cut off for the live folk.
My goodness, are we on Greenwich Mean Time or?
Yeah,
we're on.
Mean,
no, we're unfortunately we're on Blog Talk Studio Time, and the answer
Grinch
is never right.
Time.
Oh yes, then I was correct. They're just being mean.
That Greenwich Grinch.
The Grinch, yes.
You're a mean one, Mr. Blog Talk.
Mr. Grinch. Mr. Blog Talk, that's Madam Blog Talk Radio. So much
had a really fun
etiquette.
Show. Just to let you know, CW, we had a really fun operetta Dick Tracy and B-flat with a boatload of stars from 1944.
So hopefully you'll
get a chance sometime to sit down with that. It'll be well worth your time. It's, like I said, I waited for 5 years to bring this show here, and unfortunately, I didn't disappoint, I don't think.
No, not at all. I mean, we're talking Bob Hope, Bing Crosby, Dinah Shore, Judy Garland, Jerry Colonna, Jimmy Durante, Frank Sinatra, Andrew Sisters, Frank Morgan, Harry Von Zell, to name a few.
Not to mention Cass Daly, and I think you got Frank Morgan in there. But Frank Morgan, if we missed him, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The wizard. The whiz of a whiz he was. Yes.
Yep.
Oh,
unmistakable voice. Unmistakable voice.
Ah, yes. The Wizard of Oz. The great and powerful.
That's amazing that film ever got made. With the cost and the overruns and the cast changes and everything else. I mean, it's just absolutely unbelievable. I mean, you know who the original Wizard was supposed to be, right?
All right, now let's see.
Ernest Borgnine?
Lore.
No. Wasn't Ernest Borgnine this time?
Basil?
Let's see. Okay, Judy Garland. She was the... No, they really wanted Shirley Temple.
They wanted Shirley Temple, but the studio wouldn't lend it to her, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Buddy Epson had to bow out because of that makeup crud they put all over him. It damaged his lungs.
And the shame with that is he was actually supposed to be the Scarecrow, but Jack Haley really wanted that part. Ray Bulger. Ray Bulger was supposed to be the Tin Woodsman, and he wanted the part of the... And Buddy Epson said, I don't care. I'm getting paid the same whether I'm the Scarecrow or the Tin Man.
Yeah,
and he didn't end up because he got... he got poisoned. So, yeah, he didn't get the same amount of money. But,
he was pretty sick, that's what I heard from that, too.
He was very sick. I'm surprised he lived as long as he did with that kind of damage, and he was a smoker at the same time. Well, everybody smoked back then, but still.
Yeah, everybody, yeah.
And considering
the original,
The
original guy, the guy cast as the wizard and the professor was none other than W.C. Fields. And
oh,
I can see him doing a good job
with
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. But the fact is, just before they started filming, he got an offer to come back. He had been writing scripts and nobody was taking him. And the studio picked up his scripts and said, okay, come on, let's do them. And he said, toodles to Wizard of Oz.
Yep. It's funny how everything worked out, and the characters they did end up with were just epic.
Yeah.
No kidding. Yeah, and what happened to Margaret Hamilton? I mean, the scene where she got her hands burned when the broom was on fire.
Yeah.
The broom is on fire.
Oh, and if you ever listen to the guards when they're marching back to the witch's castle.
Yes.
Doesn't it sound like we all eat Oreos?
Yes.
I never thought of that.
I thought, and I'm not sure. It sounds like they're saying, "Oh, we love no one."
We all eat Oreos. And
there you go.
And listen to our local radio.
So anyway, here is a sneak preview for Halloween week. It does start Tuesday night the 26th. So it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. That's right. So first, it's going to be Monsters. All right. Monstrous Night. Then Scream Night. Followed by Eerie Houses. And then Great Apes. And honest to gosh, CW, Dave found an episode of King Kong.
Oh my goodness.
And
Madness,
a new version
Mania
of War of the Worlds.
Monkeys.
Yep. We ain't monkeying around. They found a new version of War of the Worlds from Buffalo Radio.
Yeah, the The big KB, WKBW, did their own localized version.
So yet cool. another tweak of War of the Worlds. We're pulling out all the magical stops.
Absolutely. What a wonderful way to celebrate Samhain, mayhem, mystery, madness, mania, monkeys, murder, and all kinds of other stuff.
And monsters.
And monsters.
Yep.
Yep. It'd be a lot of fun.
So, if I may, I'll knock on dear Mr. Durante's door, and if he could sing us away until tomorrow.
Until tomorrow.
See you at 6:30 Eastern, folks.
Good night. Good night. Good night. Yeah. It's time to say good night. For this sake, but good night. We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Sorry, bull, up we the same. And
everybody together.
Good night. Good night. Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash. Wherever.